Welcome to the Fastest Lap Podcast, helping you to stay up to date with the fast-moving world of Formula One. Today, we welcome you to our annual team review episode, where we look back at the seasons of three different Formula One teams. My name is Young, and as ever, I'm with Fogel. Hello everyone to episode 121 of the Fastest Lap Podcast. It has been a long year for all Formula One teams with 21 races on the calendar. And today we review the seasons of Ferrari, Haas and Sauber. So three Ferrari teams, and I think it was a good season for all of them. And thinking through all the different seasons, but let's start with Ferrari. Maybe not the best season in terms of drivers and constructors championship, because they lost out to Mercedes, and we discussed Mercedes season last week. So Ferrari, how would you describe their season, Fergal?
Well, I wouldn't describe it as a good season.
But it could have been worse, right? Look back to 16, for example.
Yeah, but it could have been a lot better. you'd argue that this was probably their strongest season in a long time. They had
and that's what I meant. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, they had a car capable of winning the championship, and it never materialized. So you know, for that reason, I think it was a pretty well. I mean, it's hard to say it was a disastrous season, but it was certainly far from ideal for them. Because it was clear that the car that they had, well, definitely in the first half of the season, maybe not so much in the second half, where they had a couple of run of races where the car upgrades didn't work properly and it caused them some issues. But
yeah, especially after the summer break.
Yeah, I mean Vettel won in Belgium and didn't win for the rest of the year.
Crazy to think about that.
Yeah, and then Kimi, of course, won in the US. But and then yeah, I mean, in the same time, Mercedes took 6 wins. You know, it was crazy comparison, and that kind of shows you how the championship was won and lost. I think it really all happened in that second half of the year. And there is an argument for, oh, Mercedes went away with it, or did Ferrari throw it away? But I think ultimately Ferrari,
I think it was a bit of both, right?
Yeah, I think it was a bit of both. You can't say that Mercedes didn't deserve it, but you'd certainly say that Ferrari could have done more, I think. And especially with the cases of Vettel spinning out many times, which I think probably was the story of the season. I think, you know, Vettel and his many pirouettes. you know, whether that was his fault or the fault of the car, because I think but the last time it happened in, I think it was the US, we kind of were like, okay, surely it's something with the car, because even in that US Grand Prix it was such a light contact with Daniel Ricciardo that made him spin. Yeah, very very strange, but ultimately they
mission spin now, yeah, right?
Well, you can propose that to them if you want. I'm not sure that'll go down too well with them, but yeah, I mean, ultimately, I don't know if Ferrari would have had what it takes anyway in the second half of the season to take it to Mercedes, but I don't really think that matters too much to them. They lost out, and ultimately, they're just going to aim to come back stronger in 2019.
Yeah, and I agree. And one thing for sure that wasn't bad this season was the Ferrari engine. It produced, or when you looked at the speed traps, Ferrari was always in the top 5 cars at least, I'd say, and they caught up to Mercedes. In the last season we always thought, yeah, without a doubt, the Mercedes engine is the best engine you could have. But this season especially, and there was some major talk about using technique to extract more power out of the battery, and there were different theories going around, and I think they produced a power unit, yes, I have to call it a power unit, not engine, I just realized, a power unit that's really capable of challenging for the top places. And not only did that help Ferrari, it also helped the customer teams. And I think we saw it with Haas, especially, I mean, we have to talk about the Australian GP. I mean, they had the opportunity to score so many points there, and also helped by the Ferrari engine, but they lost out due to that horrible pit stop mistake or error they had with the tools. So it started off badly for Haas, but I think throughout the whole season they also scored consistent points, right?
They did.
And finished in P5 in the Constructors' Championship.
Yeah, I think P5 was probably the maximum they could have got. I don't think they ultimately had the pace in the second half to keep up with Renault. But yeah, I mean, in the first half of the season, it was looking great for them. Especially after pre-season, they were there was a lot of hype around them that they could actually be the fourth quickest team. And in Australia, we saw that they were running really high up the order. I think it was like P4 and P5 they were.
Yep.
And then, yeah, unfortunately, we had that double pit stop error cost them, I think it was 22 points, which, yeah, is a lot. And, yeah, for many people, Kevin Magnussen in the first half of the year was the star of the season, because he was scoring good points for Haas. And then, you know, on the other side of the garage, it was a much different story with Romain Grosjean. I mean, Austria, round 9 was the first time he scored points. And I mean, it was a pretty good way to do it, coming home in P4, to get his first points of the year. But up until that point, it was a very, very difficult campaign for him.
Yeah, absolutely. And just coming back to the Australia race, we questioned back then, would that be a very hard DNF for Haas in the Constructors' Championship fight? But in the end, you can say if it cost them 22 points, it wouldn't have made it any difference, because Renault has 122 points, Haas only 93 points. In the end, it wouldn't have mattered. Of course, it's never good to lose two cars with something like that, but you can say at least it didn't cost them a position in the Constructors' Championship ranking, which would, of course, would have meant less money. Actually, they will get money from next season onwards, right?
Yeah, they will. They were ineligible for it in their first 2 years, just because of the way the system works. But they'll be getting money now from.
Yeah, and talking of Romain Grosjean, I mean, I can still remember that spin in Barcelona where he just he lost the car in turn 3 and just floored it and created that huge cloud of smoke, right?
Yeah, created a huge accident that could have been a lot worse. And I think that was probably a really low point. I don't know if it was probably not the lowest point of his career.
Certainly not in Formula One.
I probably give that to his race ban that he received back in 2012, but it's definitely down there at one of his worst periods in F1, because it was pretty dreadful, his run. And then even in the Austria one didn't even put an end to it, because in Great Britain he crashed out Carlos Sainz. But you know, you gotta say in the remaining half the year he produced some strong races and some strong results. Even in Italy he came home in P6 but was disqualified, and I think early on in the season there was a lot of calls for him to be axed for next year, but I don't think he needed to be. I think people, from what I saw, people were saying that he should be axed for Antonio Giovinazzi, but then Giovinazzi have got a seat with Sauber, who we'll talk about in a minute. But I think Grosjean, you know, he's been around long enough, he does a lot for the sport. I think he's deserving of another seat, especially in this Haas team, which is continuing to grow. So Overall, I think it was a very successful year for Haas, finishing P5 in what is only their third season in Formula One.
Yeah, and talking of growing and expanding teams, coming to Sauber now, and I think Charles Leclerc basically overshadowed the whole season with his great performances, and he always put the Sauber car in places where people wouldn't have thought that were possible. And yeah, generally Sauber got a great partnership with Alfa Romeo this season. They got also they hired some good personnel also from Ferrari, I think, and it paid off. Also, it also paid off that they didn't have the money issues they had in the previous years, of course, and I think it really paid off. They were, at least most of the races, they were consistently in Q2, and at some occasions they even managed to get into Q3, right?
Yeah, and it was shocking, because in pre-season that car was deemed to be the worst one on the grid, and I think at that time it probably was. Yeah. I mean, I remember it was a very difficult car to handle. It was spinning off, and it was leaving the track on many, many occasions. And
yeah, I remember.
And it seemed like it was destined to be another poor season for Sauber, who was coming off the back of two horrible years where they rarely ever scored points. But you know, you could probably argue that Sauber was the team that developed the most, or definitely evidently developed the most throughout the year, going from what could have been or probably was the worst car or second worst car, and developing it into a car that by the end of the year was, you know, I mean, you could say the fourth best team, even in fourth or fifth best team in the final three races. You know, Leclerc finished P7 in Mexico, Brazil, Abu Dhabi, and I'm really, really excited to see what they can do next year with continued investment and a new lineup of experience and a quick young driver. But yeah, I mean, Leclerc did really well. I think Ericsson, to be honest, I think Ericsson probably had his his best year in F1, although you could maybe count 2015, which was a stronger year for Sauber. But I don't think Ericsson did that bad of a job. He was certainly attractive enough for Schmidt Peterson in IndyCar, so for 2019. So you know, I think Ericsson did a respectable enough job, and yeah, I mean, he did his worth for the team and got points. It's actually kind of funny though, even without Ericsson's points, Sauber still would have finished in P8 above Toro Rosso with just Leclerc's points. And yeah, I mean, Leclerc, you've already mentioned that so impressive, his performances throughout the year, impressive enough so that Ferrari decided to take him on next year, which is going to be a lot of pressure for him. But for Sauber, just a fantastic year for them, bouncing back from two horrible, horrible years, and I think hopefully going forward they can continue to grow and expand.
Absolutely, and as you said, it's going to be very, very interesting to see Kimi Raikkonen in that seat next year. So anyway, in our next episode next week, we are going to review the seasons of Red Bull, Toro Rosso, McLaren and Renault. So four teams next time, but also the last team review episode. Until then, I can just wish you Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and yeah, until next week, goodbye.
Goodbye.